You're listening to the Cosmic Code Podcast for the evolution of consciousness. Here's your host, Vince Kelvin.
Vince Kelvin, you are listening to my podcast, and we're right away going to dive into some very interesting questions, and you're also welcome to call in live every Monday since 2004. We have been on no matter what. The first question comes from our brother Akash. What are intelligent ways to structure questions to get the most out of a call like this and get the most from the teaching? We were exposed to the concept of asking a question when we went through school. The dynamic was interesting, and it's important as a grown-up adult to have first and foremost a new relationship with questions. As a grown-up adult, know that you can ask any question that you want, and you can only benefit. And you got to really know that in your heart. I give you an example. One instance, for example, would be you ask a question, and the answer that you get is, it seems to me that you're asking that question as a reflection of you playing it a little too safe. In that moment, we're no longer little boys. That's money right there. So trust that you can only benefit from questions. And realize and recognize more and more every day that subconsciously, in a setting of learning as an adult, we often regress to moments in school when asking the wrong question would be a problem. So know that you can only benefit. So ask way more freely. And even if the answer is not easy to digest first, well, here's an opportunity to not be so sensitive. Personally, I like to approach game, life, my own personal growth from a standpoint of I will learn and I will grow no matter what. I call that reallocate the mission. For example, you're on a night out and you were hoping that it would really be a spectacular experience. You anticipated that maybe you would go home with a girl. And you go through a succession of events. You're talking with one girl and her girlfriend takes her away. You're talking to another girl and it's close but not quite, and eventually she got to catch a ride. And many could be a little disappointed, but right there in that moment, there's the gift of a new mission, because you can only win, and you got to process it from that place of I can only win. So right there, unlike the guy who would be overly attached to, but I wanted to be with a girl and that was so close, you shift gear and you seize the new opportunity of being able to work on not being so sensitive. Because, you know, it loops itself. We initially don't take too many steps because we're concerned about what could happen. And then, because we're a little too tentative when we enter our interactions, not much happens. And then it reinforces our sensitivity. And eventually, it's a vicious circle plunging us further down. So we need to break it. Break that vicious cycle. And instead, know that the more ease you find in non-responses, you spoke, the girl said nothing, the more you find ease there, the more you refine your responses to that, until you fully and truly at the core, deep down within, recognize that I was making way too much of a big deal. And you appreciate that. And the true warrior seducer is actually kind of looking forward to that, because that's an opportunity to strengthen. And then that newfound strength, where every other guy would at best feel disappointed, a little down, you get excited. And from that excitement, then you realize, hey, for as long as I'm taking steps, the worst that could happen is that nothing happens. But if nothing happens, I'm already there now. If a girl that I don't know does nothing with what I give, and as a result, I still don't know her, well, I cannot go where I'm already at. I cannot go against where I'm already at. That last part didn't fully make sense, but I think you understand what I mean. We got to realize that the worst that we fear would happen is already happening. So, you have a new attitude. This is as an answer to the brilliant question, how can we, what are intelligent ways, and I don't want to dig too deep, but, you know, I don't know if the word intelligent there will do justice to the question, because we don't want to presuppose that other questions lack intelligence. I would say it's not rooted in intelligence. It's rooted in giving yourself the permission to learn more freely as a grown-up man now. And then ask yourself questions about your questions. I give you one powerful tool to sharpen your questions. What is my intention in asking that? I repeat it so the more dedicated students can write it down, brothers. What is my intention when asking this question? And there, what you want to detect is, are you asking the question in a reactive manner? You're concerned that something could happen and you wouldn't be okay? Or are you asking the question in a more proactive manner? Were you committed to make a certain result happen? You don't know how yet, but you know that eventually there are answers that will help you to make that happen. And last, for this question about questions, I think it's important to know that you want to clarify a little further, because it's easy to deviate with a question. I give you an example. The other day, a very well-intended gentleman, a dear friend of mine, asked me, you know, first he started with a story. Avoid starting with a story in your question. Are you telling a story or are you asking a question? But don't put a story in a question. Yeah, but I need to explain to you. You're assuming that the explanation will help with the question, when oftentimes the explanation is part of the problem. So ask the question. It's also more decisive as a man to say, this is what I want. The most optimal way is, what do you want? I want that. But it's easy to deviate. So he said, well, you know, sometimes there's something I got to do and I don't do it, so can you help me be more focused? Right? And notice this, a conclusion that what will help with that is to be more focused. When in fact, aren't we all already more focused when something really matters to us? Never be the person who would say, well, you know, I got a problem focusing. Or don't listen to the person who says that. Because the very person who says, I got a problem focusing, first they're focused on how they're having a problem focusing. And then catch them when they exercise their passion. Catch them when they watch a movie they really like. And notice how focus is already there. So right there, it's really a matter of how much does it matter to you? And then we found afterwards that it was a rather tedious task. So then the answer would be to break it down into smaller chunks. Because to try to do it all in one shot, of course, I think anybody at some point would lose focus. And it was a matter also to remember, why are you doing it? What's the payoff? So I shared with you this little story as a demonstration that got to watch out. Sometimes we draw a conclusion that leads us to a question when in fact we could have kept it simple and state it more matter of fact. I got a task that I want to complete and I'm not completing it. Help me with that. You're welcome to ask questions live. And then there's a great question about relationships. So is there anyone who would like to ask a question live? I pause for a second. My chance to drink a sip. Opportunity to practice being social, speaking up, trusting that there's no right or wrong.
Speaking up.
Hey, Paul.
So I was wondering, I'm very good, how are you, to be social for a bit. But with last night's lecture, and we got seven archetypes, just in like questions and teaching in general, I think it would be helpful, just as a comment rather than a question, if after, say, each archetype, we get an example of how the very theoretical and the abstract, at least as we understand it or I understand it, applies to when we're in front of the girl.
It's a little difficult to understand you, Paul. It's a little difficult to understand you. You're speaking a little bit like this. So what is your question? We were talking about questions. Yeah?
Can we get examples after each theoretical point?
Theoretical point. So,
abstract theoretical point.
We have a caller that's referring to a class from last night. Okay? And right there, I would say it's interesting because I shared initially in the first example that I gave. Sometimes we're looking for an answer. So, yeah. I'm happy to give a few more examples, and yet I know that the examples are pretty thorough. So right there, could it also have to do with the fact, yesterday we were talking not about seven archetypes. I don't recall once using the word archetype. We're talking about the seventh man, and I painted a picture of six different men. And then the seventh one was the one that would be the antithesis of the pitfall of the other six men. What I detect then, always inspired to refine, to present things in even greater ways, I detect a little bit of the syndrome of this new millennium, where we have gotten so used that it's brought to us not from the kitchen to the table. No, it's brought to us from the kitchen to the door. And it's brought to us by simply clicking on an app. And if somebody's savvy with an app and there's something they like to order, they could maybe store that. And then the work is more and more minimal. And that's wonderful to some degree. And yet, then we don't see it, but we get atrophied. And we want it to be further given to us when we don't reach for it. So re-listen to the recording. Do your part. Don't add information. It's funny that you call them archetypes. And re-listen. And start with asking, how would the seventh man do it? And again, I want to clarify, I'm always very happy to expand. We're here expanding once again. And yet, there's a fine line. And it's often the case with women. You guys know how rapidly you start to give a little bit to a woman. And then she wants more and she gives less. She wants more and she gives less. The man who's attuned with his own warrior nature, you give him just a little bit. You come back and he turned it into something. The man who is deviating from that true masculine core and processing more and more like the lower feminine, dissecting, debating, tends to take you on a loop where it's never ending. Where you could say, here's my arm, here's my wallet, here's my car, and then we'd be, well, you know, the car and the wallet you gave me yesterday, I was wondering, could you maybe start the car for me? So start the car, dive in, re-listen to the recording, or ask me a more specific question. Tom is asking, but thank you nevertheless for the question. And this also is a great demonstration. There's no right or wrong question. In school, we feared asking the wrong question because we were little boys, little infants, very sensitive. We were unaware of our power. We were unaware that we're capable of taking more than we know. As a grown-up adult, you ask a question and you work with the answer. Okay? So, happy to elaborate. I am elaborating right now. Also, for those who care to hear that, know when to draw the line between, okay, an hour and a half was given yesterday on the topic, re-listen, and you got enough pieces. And you got to know, if you're in a group, a brotherhood, who gets it? See, if 30 guys don't get it, okay, there's something. But if you're the one guy that consistently doesn't grab what's there, then I would wonder, what is, Tom is asking, what is the correct way to conduct yourself in a relationship? I get paranoid that other men will try and hit on my girlfriend if she goes out with her friends to a club or something. I will read the whole question and then we're going to chunk it down to further help you, brothers. She says she loves dancing, but then I know what men are like in clubs and it ruins the vibe because I lose trust. Even though she says she's obsessed with me and says I'm on her mind 24/7 and would never do anything. Great. We can do a lot with this. Let's restart. What is the correct way to conduct yourself in a relationship? Take that chunk. I don't know if the word correct is the correct word because that's a bit static. You hear it, guys? A relationship is much more fluid than that. So perhaps some pointers, guidelines, a protocol, live by a code. So to live by a code right there would be a relationship is an unfolding in which you're going to further uncover the nature of the other person. And even though we love to say, I love you forever, or maybe we don't say it like that, we make fun of people who would say that, but in a way, we kind of are doing this. We got to know that at any stage, with each new day, we can further reassess, and that would be intelligent. Let's put it in the context of you're a business owner. You have employees. One employee consistently slacks off, shows up late, and eventually you find that they're tapping into the cash register. In that moment, it will be wise for the employer to go, well, thank you. Either we change this right away, or there is no point. And the employer should be grateful that they found that out, so they're not further investing in a person that is not really worth being invested in. So treat a relationship the same way. But on the other hand, I get paranoid that other man will try and hit on my girlfriend. Pause. Show me one man that is not a little bit concerned about that. There you got to have a new relationship as a grown-up adult with those concerns when they come up. What do I mean? Because concerns are invisible. We don't really know for sure how much of a margin we have to play with them. So what may appear very significant at first, perhaps we can remind ourselves of something and just say, hey, you know her, she'll be all right. Or anything, this is just an example. But watch that you don't let the concern appear to you that it's the only thing that's there and that you're stuck with it. So right there, treat it lighter. And also I think, since you're asking a correct way to conduct yourself in a relationship, I would say number one, treat it as a process to see where it's going. Second, it's not easy, but I think that we're not really in a relationship for as long as we're concerned about that relationship coming to an end. And we need to trust in a higher force. We need to trust that if we were to realize that it's not going the way we want, then we would briefly admit, okay, I have misjudged the person. I am obviously more invested than them. It is not a wise investment for me to be more invested than the other person if we're building something together. So at that point, you readjust and you will be better off to not be with the person that would potentially go out and be with other people. And if they did that, you could always readjust. Yet, I would not be so concerned. And the last ingredient that I'm going to bring is, I'm going to bring you two more ingredients. Okay? Usually, with women, they also were little girls. I realized that when I started to see like 45-year-old women suddenly tussle something like, oh yeah, let's go dance. And you go, wait a minute. That's a little habit you picked up like when that was working for you. And you're just saying that. So we're doing the work long term. If you really want to be proficient at anything in life, you need to do the long-term work. And I'm going to summarize in a moment what does the long-term work consist of if you really want solidity, so you're not in a relationship, not sure that you should be in it, and fearing that something may happen and not, or not. So right there, don't treat it also so thoroughly, literally. That's a good example of giving the other person too much power. And for me, I like to translate everything, because I think that men, we speak in our own code, and women speak in their own code, brothers. So right there, it helps to speak, to understand their code. So, and to relate it to me, because I'm not them. So I know that any such manifestation in a relationship, the woman is really saying, step it up. Because eventually we're becoming the kind of men that it will be a downgrade for her to go dance with her girlfriends. Okay? So right there, be encouraged that you got some headways to make, and make your relationship richer. Too often, especially at a young age, we, more than we know it, kind of settle. And we settle because we're in a relationship and we're not just like keeping the seduction going, lively, challenging her every day, challenging ourselves, being on the edge. And we also treat it too much like, I'm going to spend my last breath next to her, or she will have her last breath next to me. I think that there's going to be many along the way. So relax. Relax in it. And fear not. And all seasons are beautiful. It's an attachment right there. That's when you bring the spiritual big gun. How can we possibly relish being in a relationship if we're concerned not being in a relationship at some point? And if we trust life a little bit more and surrender, oftentimes we wear our own enemy fighting whatever would happen. Because usually my experience has been when a relationship comes to her expiration date, to its expiration date, if you have the proper mindset, it can be quite a relief. Then, game. Okay, I'll give you a silly example. Girl goes, oh, I love dancing. You go, yeah, you know what I love? I love flirting, baby. You know what I love even more than flirting? I love the way you feel when I'm inside of you. Push her on the bed, smile, and go, oh, right, so we're dancing. Indoor dancing inside of you. Indoor dancing inside of you. Okay? So when a woman presents that, number one, let her present anything she wants to you, brother. Because, again, it's not because at some point you hooked up that it was the final and best decision for you. So it's ongoing. Let her reveal herself. And yes, I relate totally. Oh my God, my first wife, my the girls in my late teens, I know why you're saying paranoid. Trust me, brother. Oh my God, I know. But it wasn't really that I was paranoid. It's that I had false notions that you want to urgently free yourself from, because they were not coming from me, and I doubt they are coming from you. They're inherited by the foolishness of people's relationship with love and so on. There's a lot of victimhood in it. You hurt my feelings. Well, maybe you're a little too weak. Did it ever occur to you? And, I mean, who's going to go through life and say, I had a good life, if they're prone to have another human not act the way they wanted, and as a result of that, they're devastated? I think that that person would better go back to bed and hide underneath the blanket. And I've been there. I'm not making fun. You know, Rick or so, you asked the question before. I've been there. I've been the guy that was blinded to Jim Rohn, life seminar, just gave me something so rich. But I was listening to myself so much, I hardly heard what he said. And then, my younger days, I have the audacity to think, maybe Jim Rohn should kind of apply himself with his notes on the board. When in fact, maybe, Vince, you could pick it up a little bit. And I think you got enough pieces already, because part of what slows down your process of growth with women is being needy. But my experience with this community is that neediness does not only happen at the level of dealing with females. Neediness is all around. Most of the guys that are needy with women are also very needy. They want everything for free. They will not want to pitch in. They get an amazing deal, but it's like it's already too much for them. So it's something at the root that needs to shift. It's a change of psychology. It's not the person. Never blame yourself. Never accuse yourself. Never let anyone make you feel like you're accused. If they accuse you of something, then they present it the wrong way. If you think that they're accusing you of something and they were not, they were sharing something with you, then you're taking it the wrong way. Let's get back to our example. So the first thing you do there in that relationship is it's a process. So, hey, as much as I used to fear right now, sometimes I even tell girls, I say, maybe you should be with somebody else. And if indeed she's with somebody else, then I was selling myself short, because I got to admit, I was a little bit of a fool. I overinvested it. That's okay. And I correct that. Can't live in a hiding. Then, after that also, when your own stuff comes up, it's a lot lighter. You know, if you really learn your chops. The same way you can talk back to a girl, you talk back to yourself. The same way you can change how she feels by caressing her a certain way. I'm not saying caress yourself. What I'm saying is that you can take a nice deep breath and burst into laughter. And now watch what happens to the sense of paranoia. So it's very encouraging. It's essential that you build your chops. And we fast in this day and age. Again, we're so conditioned. Okay? That's the disease right now. We are better positioned at the level of technology than ever before. We're as capable as we've ever been, and because there's more experience and references, we potentially could be more capable. But, we have a problem. We want it right now. We don't see that. We don't see how we barely get a little bit of knowledge and we think we got it. We barely get a girl and we think we got it. So we got to return to, okay, it's a process. I'm in a relationship. This is awesome. I'm learning. And that's the attitude to have towards life. If we get too rigid, we're going to suffer and struggle way more than we need to throughout our whole life. So you dialogue with yourself. The next thing that you do, brother, in a relationship is you make it so phenomenal that if she did go with a girlfriend, she'd probably be like, oh, my girlfriends are pretty boring compared to my boyfriend. And it's not about the girlfriends. So make sure that you raise the bar, you raise the standard. Sometimes we're so busy feeling a little miserable for ourselves that we forget to set a standard so high that people will eventually either excuse themselves or just be forced to elevate themselves to where we're at. And then don't take things so literally. Oh my God, I love dancing. Liar. You suck at dancing. Ah, you're a dick. Yes, I am a dick. Come, baby, let's dance right here, right now. And you need to really learn seduction. There's a hallucination because we took a couple of classes and so on that we know it. Thank God the rest of the world doesn't do that, because you would have doctors go like, yeah, I read a book and I took a weekend class not too long ago on surgery. Lay down, I got you, brother. So how will we really learn that thing? Because see, right there also there's the dynamic of educating, and there's this dynamic of an honest talk where you got to reach that place where you tell the girl, you know what, I understand that you say you want to hang out with girlfriends, but I'm feeling we're really getting close together, and for me it feels a little uneasy. So maybe either we're not on the same page and we should really talk and find out where you're at, where I'm at, and we'll adjust accordingly, baby. Don't worry, I got you. I like you, in case you didn't know. Or we readjust, and right now we decide. And I think, you know, if you're my girl, you could also dismiss it and go like, Ah, you're not in high school anymore, baby. But you want to have a little tea party with your girlfriends? Come. You need a man. Come here, baby. So, the number one thing. Four pillars of growth. I go fast through them. I give you as much as I can, but you do your fucking part. Okay? You open your ears and you stop listening to you unless you really want to listen to you. And I know it's not easy. I train myself every day. I press play. I'm listening to a variety of experts in a variety of fields. I love to grow. And suddenly I start talking to myself in my own head and I forget everything. And I go, no, almost like in a meditation. Back to the learning. So the first area of growth, and there's more than that. Okay, this is not written in stone. This is to encourage you. Make no mistake, we're much more influenced and conditioned by early schooling than we know it. And there were many benefits. Bless my education and the chances that I had to be in a structured environment, to be exposed to rhythms and systems. At the same time, I can't deny the fact that it traumatized me and everybody a little bit. I've seen thousands of grown-up adult, powerful men. The most extreme example would be this guy, CEO, paid the big bucks. He paid for most of you because he wanted to see me right now. I show up, guys, boss, like I've never seen it, brothers. Just talking to his employees, you're going to do this, and I'll see you after that. And then talking to the maid, and he even has like a security right there. It's big. It's a mansion. If anything, I'm the one who's kind of shying. And I shouldn't, but I'm like a little intimidated by this display of wealth and power. We sit down. I give him a simple exercise. And suddenly, I witness the phenomenon in front of me. The powerful man that was so efficient at directing his employees in front of me looks like a little child that is perplexed. Is that him there and then? No, brothers. He's regressing. And why would he regress? And why would he not even be aware of what's happening? Why does he seem to not be able to put two words together? And it's never true. That's a lie. That's a lie, but that's a hypnotic phenomenon. Because he's required to do something that he's not sure he can do. And for years in school, quite a bit could happen. The entire classroom could start to laugh at you. If you already were not so popular, they could bust your balls after that. Or the teacher could be a dick with you and give you an F. And then you have to carry that paper or however it works in our days all the way to your parents. And your parents will be like, hey, you're so much greater than that. Their grading system may be completely off. Who are they to know? I saw your teacher the other day and they don't look like they're probably fairly good at what they do, but beyond that, I doubt that they would have such a beautiful life, psychology, and so on, because by now they would have opened a private school or something if they were a true entrepreneur and so on. I see qualities in you, my son, that this teacher doesn't see. Come here, let me give you a big hug. I hope you still see it for me. And no, that's not how it happened. And I don't need to go on and on and on, because sometimes, you know, we don't want to make the same mistake in teaching that we could make with women. The woman, again, is like, I don't know. Yes, you know. So, right there, that's one point of improvement. And sorry to be the one breaking the news, but those things are not going to be... It's corrected. And even if you correct them fast, then it would only be intelligent to refine. See, everybody wants the bigger result. But make no mistake, next time you're on Instagram and you see another guy tell you, would you two like to work for home and so on and blah, blah, blah? What they should tell you is, first, it's going to be the same than your everyday job. If you don't like it and it's not your passion, even though you're at home, it's going to take a lot for you to get yourself to do it. So make no mistake. This idea of work for home, do what you love, only works if what you got to do that is something you love. Sure, you want the money right here and right now, but you're not going to turn around and your first little ad will cause you to cash in. They don't tell you, okay, it's possible. It's going to take everything and then some and then some. And if right now 10,000 people sign up for this idea, truth, a few will probably later on report, yep, you know, I made a fortune working from home. But the majority, the real course that they would need is, do you have the fucking patience? Do you have the persistence? Are you willing and ready to go to any length for it? That's the course they would need. But the people who buy those courses, if they heard that course, they probably wouldn't be, oh, that's the course I need. But if you're honest with yourself, brothers, that's the course that you need. And that's the course that we are taking. But then, the moment you're willing to dive in just a little bit more and you really go, okay, I'm not a fucking kid anymore, okay? I am going to have a new relationship with life, learning. There's no right, wrong, what's the correct way, what's this, oh, what if I have, it's a process of discovery. I will trust myself and I will do my best to make the most intelligent choice at the time, and I'm going to continue to move forward and educate and enrich myself in my own terms based on the things that I really want, and this will grow like things in nature, okay? There will be some watering, some sun needed, and maybe I'll have to replant, and that's okay. I'm cool with that. Because what's the alternative? Buying into the quick fix? That's a lie. That's an illusion. Second pillar is going to be about rekindling with are you willing to do your part? Are you willing to show up? Are you going to play with the material? Okay? That's essential. Or do you want us to cut the steak, fit it in your mouth, take the napkin, and on top of that, you don't like the flowers that are on the table? Oh, my God. No wonder why the guy doesn't get the chick. Because he's acting worse than the worst chick you could ever have. Okay? But that's not who he is. He needs to rekindle into how bad you want it, the winning edge, sharpen that. The learning comes more naturally, and we are doing it in a way that's more organic. Now we're more hungry, and we're ready to, hey, get back to winning. Right after that, we need to diffuse. If you really listen to the question asked, there's an underestimation of human capacity on our side. We suddenly become the bitch of one little concern when we don't remember we're the master. You can turn around and go, what a silly thought. We can say, hey, sweetheart, I'm having a silly thought. I'm a little paranoid. Yeah, look at me. Did you know that a powerful man like me was insecure? I'm going to ask you straight up. I'm a little uncomfortable you going out with your girlfriend. That's not my cup of tea. If you really ask me, I'd say we're beyond that. And I say that maybe we can find some more exclusive people. And maybe it's my goof also, because I should by now have an entourage. And I go, come on, your girlfriend, come hang out with my people. And they show up, and it's like a bunch of powerful people. And because they have, they don't want, you know, the powerful men. If you ever invite me somewhere, don't ever worry. You invite me and you put together your little party, all the girls that are there. It was their effort to bring them. I would be the most sophisticated guy. What? Because I have already. I don't need to take from somebody else. I don't need to bother somebody else. I'm not fucking desperate. So I'm an amazing wing. I'm an amazing brother to those who can be that. Anyway, we need to wrap up. So, see, right there, straight up. You're more powerful than you know it. So we suffer from an underestimation because we're not aware of the true functions, human function that are existing. And then we also still suffer from a hypnotic program that has this thing that the woman is that thing and whatever she says, she's right and she's got all that power. Oh, hey, you want to be a slut? You want to have a man and then go with girlfriends and then meet with another man? Be my guest. Be my guest. My experience is when I took that route, they go, no, don't be an asshole. I want to be with you. All right, so be with me now. Boom. Okay, my brothers, I thank everybody for your participation. And we are on every Monday for this. Make sure that you subscribe to the podcast so you get notification. I'm releasing not only those Monday calls for Q&A as well as interviews and conversations with fascinating people. and realize that you're a fascinating person, so grant yourself the permission to think of yourself that way. Heads up, August 8th and 9th, my spiritual brother AZD and legend of game, as well as phenomenal hypnotist and a man like no other, Hypnotica, we're bringing you the gift of working with reshaping your identity. Because it's easy, we grow up, we get a false sense of ourselves, people who don't know better tell us you're like this, you're like that, you know, maybe you were assessed based on your height and you heard that so often, you're like this, you're like that. And then we think it doesn't matter, but subconsciously, which is the majority of our life experience, the greater part of it, we're still affected by it. And we're misguided, like a computer with a virus. So this event will help you to shred a false sense of self. And sometimes it can be so false that we are under the impression that what we want to think of ourselves, yeah, I'm an awesome guy, that is false, and the truth is the shit that we bought into. It's very common. We so bought into it that we got it backwards. So some work needs to be done. Tony Robbins said, identity is the greatest of human needs. Robert Dills and all the greats of NLP said, you know, starts at the level of identity, of course, spirit beyond that. So it's your chance to dedicate the time. Jump on board. Message me. You know where to find me. Appreciate you guys.
To experience the magic of the world's largest online convention ever, go to CosmicCodeConvention.com.